It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. Today we have 5 inbound vessels. We have 3 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, we've simmered down from a gale warning to a small craft advisory. That's in effect through this afternoon. Today we have south winds 10 knots becoming southwest in the afternoon, gusting to 15 until later in the day, and wind waves from the southwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 10 feet at 13 seconds, and a chance of showers in the forecast. And today we're going to talk about the fate of that car carrier that was on fire off the Azores near Portugal in the Atlantic Ocean. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. First inbound is the Mia LR. She came into the anchorage off Astoria at about 2:30 a.m., arriving from South Korea. She'll be going upriver to pick up wheat. The tug C-SPAN Rogue, arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, will be at the Astoria fuel dock at about 8:30 a.m. The Publinga is next inbound, or Publinge. Not quite sure how to pronounce that one. I found a couple of alternatives when I looked it up. At any rate, she's arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's going to be going upriver to Kalama eventually to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. She will come into Astoria's anchorage at about 6:30 p.m. The Ocean Tact is arriving from Japan, headed for Longview's anchorage. She'll be picking up logs there eventually. Passing Astoria around 9:30 p.m., she'll be in Longview by 1 a.m. on Thursday. The FPMC-32 is a chemical tanker arriving from Japan, headed for Kalama. She'll pass Astoria inbound around 11 p.m., and be in Kalama by about 4 a.m. on Thursday. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Nicholas XL headed for Kalama to pick up wheat. She'll leave at about 4 p.m. and be in Kalama by about 9 p.m. That leaves the Ocean Innovation and the SM Goseong awaiting orders. In our outbounders, the Bright Venture is leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 4 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. And the Red Sakura is leaving Portland with potash on board, leaving around 5:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11:30, and the Glen Guile is leaving Portland with scrap metal about 10 p.m. out of Portland, passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Thursday. So today I thought we'd do a follow-up to a story that I shared with you almost 2 weeks ago now here on the Ship Report about a fire at sea aboard a car carrier. It's a car carrier that looks a lot like the ones we see here on the Columbia River, those high-sided, big, blocky-looking ships. This is where we get our cars, unless you happen to buy a car manufactured in the U.S. So car ships, like this one that was on fire in the Atlantic Ocean, go to ports all around the world. And increasingly, there have been incidents of fires on board these ships, linked in some cases to batteries on hybrid or electric vehicles. This particular car carrier, the Felicity Ace, was carrying some pretty high-end cars, about 4,000 pricey vehicles like Porsches, Bentleys, Lamborghinis, along with some VWs and Audis. The total value of the cargo on the ship was estimated to be over $400 million. Well, that story came to an end this week, at least for the ship. It sank yesterday about 220 nautical miles off the Azores. Salvage vessels are remaining in the area to monitor the situation. That's according to G-Captain. They're waiting to see if there are any oil spills or other problems from the ship sinking. The fire on the Felicity Ace started on Wednesday, February 16th. She was about 90 nautical miles southwest of the Azores, which is off the coast of Portugal. The ship was underway from Germany, and it was headed to Rhode Island. There were 22 crew members on board who were able to get off the abandoned ship early on in this incident. They were all brought to safety, so that's good. The people were safe. A salvage team, now remember, salvage teams are the people who go in and try to save the ship. The Coast Guard saves the people. The salvers or salvage teams try to save the ship. They were reported to have boarded the drifting ship by helicopter last week, and what they were trying to do was connect a tow line to the Felicity Ace that they would then hook up to one of their big, heavy ocean-going salvage tugs and tow her into port. So there were a couple of other big salvage tugs there, along with a large anchor-handling tug with additional firefighting capabilities. So they had a lot of resources there trying to deal with this. At first, they couldn't get on board the ship because it was too hot, and they had to do what are called cooling procedures, where they, in some cases, just pump seawater with hoses and just saturate the ship with seawater to cool the decks down enough for them to get on board. Because as I've said previously, ships that are on fire heat up incredibly because they're all made of metal. So as of a few days ago, the ship was considered to be stable and there was no smoke visible. But she had kind of a starboard list, which means that she was leaning to one side. So that was not a good sign. I saw a picture of her. You can find one if you go to gcaptain.com just before she sank. She looked pretty terrible. There were burn marks all along her hull and sides. So the fire had spread widely on board the ship beyond the cargo area where it started. Now, some of the cars on board were reportedly electric vehicles with lithium-ion batteries, and that made firefighting efforts more difficult. Smit Salvage, which is part of the Dutch marine company Boskalis, was the appointed salver or salvage team. Now, we've heard their name a lot in other incidents where ships needed to be saved and towed into port or scrapped, and they're very famous for that work. So the ending of this story is that the ship sank. She went down yesterday in the North Atlantic, and that's where she is. So she is a ship that has been lost at sea. But the ending of the story brings up some interesting things to talk about. First, the sinking of the Felicity Ace means it's likely we'll never know actually what caused the fire. Authorities do suspect those lithium-ion batteries because they have been the cause in other car ship fires. So here's some information about lithium-ion batteries from OSHA that I looked up because I was kind of curious about why are they so fire-prone. And it said, when lithium batteries fail to operate safely or are damaged, they may present a fire or explosion hazard. Damage from improper use, storage, or charging may cause lithium batteries to fail. Damage can occur immediately over a period of time from physical impact, exposure to certain temperatures, and/or improper charging. So these are the batteries which are used in electric and hybrid cars, and they are potentially unstable. So because this ship was adrift for most of the time it was on fire, and they really were not able to get on board because it was so dangerous from the heat and from other factors as well, the ship had been slowly burning and deteriorating since it was first discovered that it was on fire. And so they finally got a tow on it, and then I imagine that they had to release that tow when they suspected that it was going to sink. So the last thing you want is in their position as salvers is to be tied to a massive vessel like this when it's sinking because it could pull the salvage tugs right down with it. Then there's the issue of the salvage operation itself. Now, depending on what kind of agreement Smit Salvage had with the ship owners, they could get paid or they could not. In many salvage operations, the most common agreement worldwide is one that is called no cure, no pay. And that means that if they're not able to save the vessel, they don't get paid. So in this case, if it's that kind of agreement, they don't get paid for all their work. Now, this sounds pretty awful for the salvers, but in general, Smit is very successful. And when they are successful, they make millions of dollars on one job. So what happens now for the companies that were shipping those cars? Well, those cars are all insured. So the insurance companies will be shelling out a big check in this case. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.